In this episode, we are continuing to follow the theme of antidote making, creating antidotes for what we see in the world, becoming what we wish the world to be. This is no small task in a world on fire. It's the stance of a warrior. So today we are going to be talking about actions that generate love. This is for you if you've ever felt awkward, if you wish to see more love in the world, or you wish to actually become love. The antidote for divisive times is unification. It's care. It's love. It's seeing the best in one another. It's being there for each other and seeking that out. It's anchoring in and making good feelings between people. So let's do it.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.
Do you crave clarity and insight? Do you sense that your intuition is trying to tell you important things, but you have a hard time trusting it? Do you want access to your own internal wisdom and to understand how it operates so that you can guide your life in ways that are meaningful and satisfying? Well then, welcome. I'm glad you are here. I'm your host, Aimé Cartier. I've been a professional psychic since around 2007. I'm the author of the book Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life. I've been teaching others to understand and use their own intuitive and empathic abilities for more than a decade. Join me each week for true stories and tools that will inspire you to take seriously your own inner knowing, that internal sense that you have uniquely tailored to you and designed to not only set you on the roads that are best for you, but also help you avoid the ones that are treacherous. It's time for you to own your intuition. Love, welcome. I am glad you're here. I'm going to first mention a free gift I have for you. Intuition coloring pages. Does that sound fun to you? It really sounded fun to me. Maybe no one else cares, but it sounds so fun to me, which is why I made them. Doing art is something I've done in various forms throughout the years as a way to relax. These four free coloring pages will also help you recognize your own intuition and how it speaks to you, and give you cues about what is not your intuition speaking to you also. So check out the show notes if that sounds fun to you. You can download them for free and color your way through this episode while you listen. I'd also like to give a shout out to Rebecca. Rebecca from Bremerton. Hi. She used the show text option to send me this message. Thank you, Aimé. Your last two podcasts have helped me immensely. The Hawaiian prayer at the end of the last episode sealed the deal to text you. I read it a while ago and I say it regularly. You are amazing and you are helping us through this time. Sincerely, Rebecca. I can't tell you how much it means to me to receive these messages. So thank you so, so much for reaching out, Rebecca. I'm so glad the shows are landing as I intend. That just makes my heart happy. So thank you for taking the time. Today, we are going to talk about generating love. In this episode, I'm continuing to follow this theme of antidotes, which I have been talking about in some form for the last few episodes, creating antidotes for what we see in the world, becoming what we wish the world to be. This episode comes out on my birthday, so I'm going to make a request first before we dive in. If you know and love this podcast, maybe you are just discovering it. Maybe you've been listening to it for years. Maybe, as many of you have shared, its words at some time or another have been poignant or meaningful or shed direction and insight for you. If you are in that category, I am asking you for a birthday treat. Could you please take a few minutes right now to like, star, and leave a review of this podcast on your podcast platform? Maybe you can say why you listen to it, what you like about it. Maybe you can share why it feels like a good use of your time to listen in. It doesn't have to be a complex share, just a few words to tell others why you like it, why you care, why you listen. It would mean a lot to me to discover new reviews, new stars. So whether you're listening to this on my birthday or not, I think it also helps others find this podcast. The more reviews, the more stars there are. So, secondly, if you find this podcast uplifting, how about sharing it with a friend? Sending a text with a link to your favorite episode or something of the like to your favorite people. Maybe one that says, "The Intuition for Changemakers show is helping me through this time. I think you might love it too." I would love that, knowing that that is happening. So thank you if you take a minute or two to give back by spreading the word. I highly appreciate it. Okay, so we've been building a ladder together since the new year started. A ladder that is leading us not only toward peace and resilience during chaotic times, but to antidote making, which, as is probably obvious from the last couple of episodes, number 82 and 83, actually helps others and yourself. With these episodes, we are talking right now about what Mahatma Gandhi said. We need to be the change we wish to see in the world. And remembering how it actually doesn't take everyone to make this change, as we discussed in episode number 82, but when enough changes happen on the inside, the culture shifts. Boy, are we in a ripe time for shifting culture. So I'm going to keep throwing my pebble into the water on an internal level by the vibe I am making, and on an external level with these podcasts, my speaking and my work. And hopefully you will join in the mix, and together we can create a hill to climb out from drowning and, moreover, build something beautiful. So how can we be those change makers during a chaotic time? You have the power. We all have the power. So today we are going to be talking about actions that generate love, because I think love is the answer to just about everything. I know it sounds oversimplified, but I actually believe it is the truth on many, many levels, of which I only sometimes glimpse a few. Either way, more love in the world would definitely create a rich ground for less conflict, right? So let's keep it simple. Most things are, when you come down to it. Generating love is not a trite thing. It's not a Pollyanna thing either. It's actually a warrior stance in times like these. In times like these, despair is very alluring. Let me give you an example from my own life. I read about Donald T. firing 1,000 Forest Service workers the other day, and I cried. I cried for the story that it created in my mind about what I think this might herald, the opening up of or the auctioning off of our public lands to private interests, drilling, mining, etc. You can't rehire wild. It won't regenerate in my lifetime or even in my daughter's lifetime. Wild lands have been thousands, millions of years in the making. I think of those who work in the Forest Service as the modern day stewards of those precious places. Trees have always been among my first loves. It's my love of them that led me to a career as an environmental activist straight out of college gate. So when I saw that he fired those employees, I was crying. I'm bringing this up because I also think it is important to say, within antidote making, there is no part of creating antidotes that actually requires you to suppress emotion. Don't suppress emotion. Feel it. It's the fastest way through the other side. When I felt devastated about this, I let those feelings arise. I let myself experience them. I cried in the car, driving down the road. I cried standing in my kitchen. I cried while laying in my bed. Then, the following day, I made a conscious effort to return to antidote making, to what makes me buoyant, what makes me joyful, resilient, and more open to solutions. I made myself a sustaining member of the Nature Conservancy to answer that concern I had. I didn't suppress my emotion. I felt it and then moved on. Sometimes it's not easy to make antidotes. Sometimes generating love feels like the hardest thing. That can be very real. So I want to acknowledge that. Just like in my last story from the episode on forgiveness, it's not always easy and it's still important. So the act of generating love, just like the act of forgiveness, which we talked about in episode number 83, is no small thing, especially during the times we are living in. It's the stance of a change maker committed to a better future, even amidst times of chaos. The stance of a change maker who refuses to take sending everything to hell in a handbasket as a way of life. And yet, as I've mentioned several times over the last couple episodes, the change comes from within. So we must be the change we wish to see. Just like Gandhi said, we must have our feelings and then continue to focus on the fact that despite the crap show or the dumpster fire days that we are currently witnessing in the US, creating a future we are proud to live in does require some effort on our own, even if the effort is internal and no one but ourselves sees it. So today I'm going to give you three ideas out of an infinite amount, I think. Please text the show if you come up with your own and or send me an email through my website. Next week, the plan is to have a special guest, Erin Collins, talking about breath work, another tool we can use for healing ourselves from the inside out. So, generating love. What comes first? Self-love, of course. It's time for a story about when I felt like the lamest person in the room and what I did about it. I was in the Peace Corps in West Africa, in Senegal, millennia ago. Just kidding. 1997 through 1999. I spent most of my time in a little African town speaking a local dialect called Pular Futa. Most of my time was spent in my town or village and obviously in a completely different culture than the one I grew up with. And most of the time, I was without contact with other Americans or English speakers. By the time this incident I am about to describe happened, I had been in Senegal for nearing 2 years, being totally enmeshed in Poular Fouta life was more normal to me at that time than anything American, because that's how I had spent the bulk of the last 550 days or so. However, every few months, I would take the 10-hour trip to the capital city of Dakar to help write the newspaper for the Peace Corps volunteers in Senegal. There, it was city life. Ice cream and air conditioners and computers on which we typed the newsletters, and often lots of other volunteers who were passing through for one reason or another. This was pre-cell phone era, and we basically had no technology with us on site or in our villages. So even typing on computers was a luxury we almost never had. Sending an email was like a mind-blowing luxury. There were a couple of volunteers who lived in the capital city, and occasionally there would be a party of volunteers while I was there. I remember one night walking into a party. All the volunteers there were happily drinking and laughing and chatting and generally looking so well adjusted, like they made small talk in English every day, wore cute Western clothes, and had cocktail parties every night. I knew this wasn't true. 99% of them also lived in villages and were neither speaking English, nor wearing cute summer short dresses, nor drinking cocktails there. But I still remember how everyone looked so at home at the party. They all looked so fun and witty and hip. Walking into that scene, I felt far from any of those things. I remember standing there and feeling like a total dolt. I couldn't think of anything to say. I didn't feel as cute as it seemed everyone else was. The more I listened to the witty banter around me, the more terrible I felt. I was sure that no one in the room thought I had anything interesting to say either, and I honestly didn't feel like I did that moment anyway. Eventually, something clicked. Probably heralded by my acute sense of absolute misery, I felt so terrible, and yet there was nowhere else I wanted to be either. I wanted to fit in there. I wanted to be able to sit on the couch and converse easily to enjoy myself at a rare party. That's when it dawned on me that only a day prior to this moment, I had been quite happy with who I was. I had been alone in my village and feeling fine. I felt energized about what I was doing. I was in great shape. I felt good in my skin. I was happy with my talents and what I could contribute. In short, just the day before, left to my own devices in a situation in which I was already comfortable, I thought I was an interesting and fun person. Standing at that party, surrounded by people I deemed cooler than myself, and realizing that less than 24 hours ago, I had felt so completely opposite, sort of shocked me. I couldn't have changed that much in so little time, I thought. It caused me to recognize that I was the one creating the barrier. It wasn't that all these people were so cool and I wasn't. It was that I wasn't allowing myself to feel good. Maybe I didn't feel as comfortable at that moment as them, or I hadn't been in the city that long to acclimate yet, but that didn't mean I was a total boring idiot. Nor did it mean that I didn't have a single interesting thought or idea to contribute. I realized that the choice to feel good or bad was one I could alter. I realized that instead of standing there feeling like an ASS, I don't know if I can say that on the radio. I could think of myself differently. I could start by returning to those feelings I had had the day before when I was feeling good and confident and interesting. So I went to the bathroom for a moment of privacy. And while standing in the loo alone to get myself back into that place of feeling good, I started remembering the feeling I had when I was totally absorbed in something I cared about. The feeling I had only the day before while biking down the road near my village, feeling fine. Then I started listing in my head all of the things that I liked about myself, the things I was proud of or felt good about. I recognized that it wasn't even important that others share those opinions, but that knowing and feeling good about who I was affecting my interactions with others. This whole situation I was in was entirely about how I felt inside. I recalled that I had also felt witty and fun at other times, and if I could feel it then, I could feel it now. I was the same person. I remembered the things I was good at, the things that interested me in the world, and the talents I had, or the things that I had done relative to those interests. It's taking far longer to talk about it right now than it actually took to do it. It wasn't a super long, drawn-out process. It was like giving myself a thorough talking to while standing in the loo. I stood there for several minutes until I felt in touch with that part of myself, the part that was proud of who she was, but even more than that, the part of me that was content with myself, whether or not there was anyone there to see it. Then I walked back out into that party as that person, remembering that no matter how awkward I felt in the moment, that didn't mean I was a piece of poop. I walked back out into that party and started operating from that place of fondness for myself, and let it overflow into a fondness for others too. Let me say, just for the record, it wasn't like I walked back out into the party and I was like, hey, everybody, cool girl, life of the party. But I joined a conversation. I focused on the fact that I wasn't a piece of crap on the floor. I amplified that feeling of satisfaction within myself. And then I found a place to fit into the mix. I don't know if I actually accomplished witty that night, but I did manage to break out of my negative thinking and terrible feeling, make connections with others, and feel good about my experience. It was a powerful lesson for me, one I have not forgotten. I realized that my externalized experience was controlled by my internal experience, and that I had a hand in creating that. In fact, I was actually responsible for it. But mostly, it just made me feel better. So, generating self-love technique number one for use anytime, and especially if you find yourself in a situation where you feel less than good or awkward or inadequate, remember a time or many when you felt good about yourself. Add as many of those times and moments together as you can in your mind. See yourself in moments or activities in which you excel, at which you thrive or flourish doing. Recognize that you are still this same person. You can, in your head, start listing things you like about yourself, and before too long, your mood will shift. You'll remember that you are indeed a great person, a unique gem with good things to offer this world, as is true for every single one of us. This is Aimé Cartier, and you are listening to the Intuition for Changemakers show. Today, we are talking about three practices for generating love. The first one being self-love, which we just covered. Now, here is a practice that we do in our family on birthdays, especially, not limited to, but especially on birthdays. It's similar to what I just mentioned, only in this case, you do it for others, which also feels good. When one of my children have a birthday, for example, at their party, whether that is a gaggle of kids or a gaggle of kids and relatives or whatever combination of friends in all sizes and ages that we have, when we are gathering with the people we love to celebrate the birthday person, we always go around and each person there says something they love about the birthday person. Something that they admire or love about them, a quality that they appreciate in the birthday person. This is our birthday go-to for sure, but we've also done this just at dinner time too. Only then, every person at the table says one thing they love about every other person at the table, including themselves. You have to say something you love about yourself too, not just the other people. Kind of like what I did in the bathroom all those years ago. So for birthdays, I like to generate love, and not just generic love, but something meaningful. So it is my hope that this episode inspires such a thing. Try it around your dinner table tonight. If you are alone at the dinner table, send a text to your closest friends or a relative you have. We know that we are in a pivotal time in history. Every person alive has this feeling that great change is afoot. Some are excited, some are scared, some are angry. There are people of every shade of opinion on what is happening. In episode number 82, I revealed my basic formula for creating antidotes. The bottom line in creating antidotes is if you discover something that you don't like, you start generating the opposite of this. You discover what you would like the vibe to be. You make that change internally as a way for it to ripple out to others. I don't know if I've ever mentioned this experiment I did once while at the airport in any of our episodes. I can't remember. While riding up the escalator, I smiled at every person I saw as though they were a long lost friend of mine, as though I was just beyond happy to see them. These were people in which I shared only seconds of time. And obviously people who did not know me at all. And do you know what every single one of them did? They gave me the widest, biggest smile right back. They returned the smile as big as it was in kind. They weren't even confused or hesitant. They didn't know me. I wasn't their long lost best friend. And yet every single one of them who looked at me smiling at them changed from whatever emotional space or stressed or just whatever place they were in their mind and responded immediately with great joy, all while passing me on the escalator. Try it sometime. It is the best. Be the change. The antidote for divisive times is unification. It's care. It's love. It's always love. When I was in college, my senior year of college, I waited tables at a small Chinese restaurant in my college town. I once had a table leave me a $100 tip. And I can tell you, my service was not exceptional. I mean, it wasn't bad. It was fine, but there was nothing extraordinary about the dinner or the service. I didn't even really chit chat with them. I just took their order, served their food with a smile, wished them well, and, you know, waved on their way out. The tip was like 3 times more than their meal. That's kindness. They didn't know me, but they could tell I was probably in college, most likely not rolling in dollar bills since I was also waiting tables on a Tuesday night. And they offered me a gift, a kindness, a caring act. Be the change. The antidote for divisive times is unification. It's care. It's love. I know I'm repeating myself, but we can't hear this enough right now, I really feel. It's seeing the best in one another. It's being there for each other and seeking that out. It's making good feelings between people, even people you don't agree with, even and especially people who are marginalized or not cared for enough by the whole right now. The last practice I'm going to suggest today is to pick 1 to 3 people in your life who have meant something to you, who have offered you something, or who through your knowing them have made meaning in your life. Write a note to them about this. Send it in the mail. It doesn't have to be long. It can start out, "I just wanted you to know that you..." When I was pregnant with my firstborn, my sisters were so excited. They are my half-sisters, even though we don't usually define it as such. And they have these fantastic aunts. My stepmother's sisters are just so lovely. And I watched their care and connection with my sisters and myself, but as my sisters were growing up. So when I was pregnant, I remember writing each of them a letter thanking them for being such a fantastic role model for my own sisters. I knew that my sisters were going to be the best aunts because this is the example that they had had in their own life. So that's an example of a letter that I have written in my life in this vein. So you can write your letter or even just a paragraph to anybody who has added positively to your life. You get bonus points for and by your own self if this is a person who sits on the other side of an issue than you right now. It's bonus points because you are making an active step at unifying the whole. And you are actively, through your own actions, reminding yourself that this is really what is important: caring for each other, spreading and being love. That this is the most powerful way to change the world. Maybe this all seems really simple in a complex world. And truly, it is simple. But one thing I have seen countless times in my work, doing readings, in my teaching, and in my own experience of life, life circumstances are actually rarely as complex as we make them. The answers are almost always simple. And even simple answers, actually maybe even especially simple answers, make the most profound differences in this world. So if you would add calm to the storm, if you would add or make or be a balm, love is the highest balm there is. Okay. Funny side story. Recently, my daughter and son were sleeping over at one of their good friends' houses. This girlfriend of theirs was stealing meatballs at dinner and then bacon off my kids' plates. And they were all laughing about it and they were telling me about it later. When my daughter was telling me the story, we were talking about the audacity of stealing bacon. And my daughter said, "There is nothing higher than taking someone's bacon. That's the highest there is." It makes me laugh to think on it now, which is why I'm telling it to you. We were serious, but also kidding, but also serious. But here is what I want to say again, bacon aside. There is nothing higher than generating love and being it in the world. Do that and see what changes. Do it for yourself. Do it for each other. Do it for this world. Okay, so I want to put this question to you as I conclude. What other ideas do you have for generating love? Self-love, love in general. Can you think of one or more actions you could do today, this week, to generate love on an inner to outer level? If you've got other ideas how to do this, things that you've done as a result of this podcast or just whenever, I would love to hear. You can, as Rebecca pointed out so wonderfully at the beginning of this episode, you can actually send me a text or send the show a text right through your podcast app. On Apple Podcasts, there is a feature that's the one I've tested because that's what I have that lets you do so. So when you click on the episode, right above the little blurb with what the show is about, you will see these four words: send us a text. I would love to hear from you about your ideas. Remember, you are not alone. We are here together. All my love. This is Aimée Cartier, and you have been listening to the Own Your Intuition show. Thank you. To me, intuition is the way. It's the most practical and specific directive a person can have for the insight, guidance, knowledge that they can't get any other way. Being able to recognize your intuition and not waste time wondering and doubting or dragging your feet or even ignoring your inner knowing is going to create ease in your life. At least it has in mine and the many, many students I've worked with over the last decade plus. If you are ready to know, is it your intuition? To understand how it works so you can stop wasting time doubting yourself and get to the goods your intuition is leading you to, then I made a self-study course just for you. You can start right now. Find out more of the details at aimeecartier.com/knowintuition. See you soon.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.